And good morning. I'm joined by two members of the City Council, Robert Kreitzer, Bill Maupin. They are joining me today.
Good morning.
And they are here representing the City Council. It's been a, you know, it's been an interesting last 17 months. it was actually 17 months ago in March of 2020 that everything got shut down, being COVID and how we've kind of, we're still kind of, we're sort of like in the, I'm hoping it's the embers of this. I think that's maybe what I guess, I thought it was the embers back in April, but it seems that the Delta variant came out and we're still dealing with some of this thing. It has had an effect on, it's had an effect on individuals. The vaccine or not, vaccines seem, boy, you say vaccines, somebody says, some people say yay, and other people say nay. I don't think I've ever seen anything so absolutely, you know, politicized as this has become. And it's just one of those things. I know it isn't in the City Council, but there's we're talking about. I have a friend. I will tell you this. I'm not going to mention the name. I was supposed to play golf yesterday, and person who was supposed to play golf with me, he's going to pick me up at 1:30. So I got home. I'm swinging. I haven't played much golf in the last couple of years, believe it or not. So I'm swinging a club, just kind of loosening up a little bit in my up my front yard. And hey, it's about 1:30, and I said, you know, I better give him a call. And I called, and he said, I said, are we going to play golf today? I can't. I said, what's wrong? It's a perfect day. He said, one, I've got a broken arm. Two, I've got COVID. But fully vaccinated, very mild. I said, it was a very mild mm-hmm. case. His wife also had COVID. So it was like, but it's the kind of thing that has been, you know, it's like the embers just that came to they flare up every now and then. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Schools, I'm seeing that Burlington is changing their policy, or they're going to a tiered thing based on what the county rate, or I guess what the county rate of contagion is. West Burlington has already abandoned their mask mandate. And I know that there is there's supposedly a treatment out for COVID, and there's also children's. They're trying to get the emergency use. I know Pfizer
potentially
is
a pill
and another pill, a treatment pill for this thing. So we're seeing some things that are happening on that. But the city moves on, people move on. If you were at Kinnick Stadium or if you watched Kinnick Stadium at all last Saturday, I don't think there was a lot of social distancing going on. No. What do you think?
No. I think it's a polarizing issue, you know, whether it's vaccination versus not vaccinating, whether it's mask versus not masking. It's just been a very polarizing issue all around the country. And I kind of, you know, that's kind of sad that that's...
Well, you've had two things that are going on. It's not only a politicized issue, but you have nurses that are simply burned out. They are absolutely exhausted. You've had nurses that have gotten out of the profession. You have other nurses that have, instead of that, they've joined the traveling nurse corps, which basically is a triage nurse corps. And I know the Great River Medical Center, or I should say Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center, they've been facing this issue now for months because the fact they need so many nurses, and I mean fixed nurses, because nurses are important to actually, you know, be with the patient for an observation. The doctor can't be there all the time to observe, but the nurses are there to take the records, to take the, you know, the basically the vital signs and check and make sure.
The nurses run the hospitals. We all know this.
They really do.
They really do.
And when they're not around, and when there's a shortage of them, you have some real issues, and that's what I know. Mike McCoy over at the hospital, it's been a tough 17. You think it's been tough here. It's been a tough 17, 18 months there.
Well, and you look at in my line of work in education, what we have seen in figures is that in the next 3 years, about 19% of the current teachers are planning on retiring. And by 2030, the United States could be between half a million and 1 million teachers short. And a lot of it has to do, a lot of teachers who are going to stick around for a while, the whole COVID experience had just worn them out. Same thing with the nurses. You know, those who have been dealing with it day after day after day are just tired. And we're seeing that now. There's going to be a huge teacher shortage going on right now all across the country.
Right. And you have even more of a shortage. Teachers' aides,
mm-hmm.
Very, very, very difficult to find right now. It doesn't pay that well, for one, no. But it also, and so it seems a high-risk position. The most serious one you have is right now substitute teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Finding subs, typically subs are retired teachers.
Well, my wife's a sub-associate, and for a while I think you had to have a degree, and now they've like lessened the restrictions on who can apply. Like basically if you want to work for the school now, you can just apply and see what happens. I don't think you have to have a degree.
Well, I think it's the fact that you need to have supervision. You need to have someone that's willing to come in and who's got the desire to help kids along and help educate as much as possible.
Well, I volunteer.
Yeah.
I teach chess on Wednesdays at Grimes. So at 4:30, I'll be there teaching chess. And the Pieces After School program, they're understaffed too. They're hurting. They're so happy to have a volunteer, but I'm like the only one that they have. So I get this big group of kids in there with me that want to play chess. And you can tell they're relieved to just have another adult in the room to help them out.
Well, I think it's but from a city standpoint, I had Chad Bird on last week talking about how does it mean, you know, from a city standpoint, yes, there have been a certain number of positive cases. Yes, they have been dealing with COVID. Yes, I know that both for the sheriff's department and the police department, they've had a certain number that have also been down with COVID. But, you know, they've managed to get along, to get through that. From a standpoint, where does it affect city services? Not much. What it has done is it has affected the entire delivery system or the movement of products across, and particularly mm-hmm. building supplies, road building supplies, all of those things have changed. The Tiger Grant went up in price mainly because the cost of delivering those supplies and the cost of those supplies, building supplies themselves, road building, concrete, all of those things, they all increased in price rather dramatically. And that is affecting everybody. Well, it's affecting the city. It's affecting budgets is what it's doing. And I've been trying. I've got some sidewalk work to be done, and it's like trying to I'm going to have to do something myself because I have a feeling that, you know, it's like nobody wants to mess with anything too little anymore.
Well, that's because
they're all trying to get the big projects
mm-hmm.
done. Yeah.
And you look at, I mean, when you can't even get, a refrigerator delivered, or I know that some of the vehicles that the city has been planning to buy,
you can't get them because the chips aren't there.
Yeah.
The vehicles they're looking for have to have, there's not many vehicles that don't have a lot of chips in them anyway.
Well, as you put it, the last 17 months haven't been easy. And our first year and a half on council, you know, COVID shortage, shortages, we can't have, bids aren't coming in where we expected. So it's made everything harder for us.
Okay, that's the bad news. The good news is
we're getting it done anyway.
The good news is you're getting it done anyway. The other good news is if you go downtown, you see the Tama building. You can see things. Movement is happening there. Go down farther down the street, and you see the new, I'm not sure what the name of those lofts are. They're right across from the drive-in bank. Mm-hmm. I see it every time I go through the drive-in bank, and I'm saying, Boy, there, and all the windows and those are loft, and there's a lot of apartments in that building. But so we're seeing growth. We're seeing buildings that are getting finished. The old police station building that's under construction right now.
And then the tagger work starts on October 18th, and we should be done by spring 2023. It's the plan. They're going to start on Jefferson from Central to Front, so they'll start up at Central Avenue, go back towards the river. We'll do Main from Angular to High, and then we'll do the riverfront from the South Boat Docks to the north. So there is a tagger page up on the Burlington website. You can sign up for a weekly update now. So if business owners or anybody in the community wants to know where they're at, what they're doing, you can sign up for a notification in your email, and you can just see.
Well, and the Jefferson Street project, that's going to be improving that street, and also Main Street, part of the Complete Streets program, improving with bike lanes up on that street. The Tiger Grant, I know there was we were talking about the backing in into diagonal spots. I didn't try doing a diagonal spot back in, but I understand that the backing into a diagonal spot to try to have an easy way to get out of a diagonal spot, the hard part is going into it. It's a lot harder to go backing into a spot than it is to drive forward, even if you have to look and peek out the back when you're going the other way. I don't know. Do you know what the reason was for that, Bill, or anybody?
It was supposed to, I didn't like the idea when they first brought it to us. I've seen people back up.
They don't
back up well. It's very difficult.
I have a hard time just keeping a straight line coming out of the garage.
Well, and when you're backing into those two lines, unless you have the correct mirrors, you might have to open the door, and then you're stopping in traffic, and people might be right behind you, and they don't know. We had a presentation on it. I'm not for it.
I agree. It was I don't know where that came from. I thought it was designed that it was going to be the way that they were going to be doing some of the parking for the Jefferson Street project.
It was an idea they presented that works in bigger cities. They say it works in some communities. Like Bill was saying though, here people struggled to learn to use the roundabout. They're finally doing okay with it, but with the backing up, I don't know if the people here have enough experience. Like, I know people that can't parallel park. Like you said, people can't back up. So I just wonder if where we live, and we're more rural in this area, that we just don't learn to navigate like that. And we, a lot of people here don't do heavy traffic. If we travel somewhere, my wife's like, you need to drive because I'm going to freak out on the highway. So, you know, it just might be we need to cater to the needs of the community and how we do things. And I'm not opposed to change or progress, but sometimes I think we just need to keep it simple. And I think that the way that we're doing things.
Well, and I think it's a matter of simply, okay, what is it, the old KISS system, keep it simple? It doesn't, because it just, you know, appreciate what the good things we have. The good things we have going on right now, we are seeing more people moving in, more businesses, more restaurants opening up downtown. Businesses, more condominiums are going to be open. I think you're going to see eventually a boutique hotel. I think you're going to see a grocery store that will be particularly specifically for the downtown residents.
So Saturday, I ordered food. I'm not going to say where, but it's delicious and it's Italian. I went down and picked up food. They were busy. They were full. I decided to drive down Jefferson. I saw people walking. Every business was full. Every parking spot was full, all the way from Main Street to Central. All of Jefferson was full on Saturday. There was something going on in the Capitol Theater. There was something going on in the Memorial Auditorium. And then everybody had customers. So it's hopping down there right now.
Well, to put it into perspective, I was trying to describe this to somebody. If you were to look at Burlington 20 years ago, and look at downtown Burlington 20 years ago. Where did we stand 20 years ago? We had a Hotel Burlington that was basically a dead hulk, and the council business was deciding or were determining whether they we could afford $2 million to tear down that building. We had the Capitol Theater, which was just a, it was a, you know, a decrepit sort of, you could tell there was a theater there at one time, but it had sort of long since faded into the distant past. There was nothing but a dirt floor in there and a lot of broken materials and a lot of old stuff. I remember going on a tour there, and we were looking at what, you know, they were talking about renovating it and that sort of thing, and describing it as a potential theater. And I said, well, you don't, you know, it's really hard to do to turn this into a live theater venue because you don't have wings. You don't have a backstage area. I said, now, if you had a building next door or the next door building on something, and you could literally have that be a place so you could move sets in and out, then yes, it could work as
a... And now they have the annex.
And now they have that. And
excellent.
So, I mean, look, the things that have occurred in the time, I mean, we're really talking the last 15 years, it is striking how much has happened. And people that haven't been downtown or that say, well, I can remember the signs or the people's, you know... Well, the last person to leave downtown Burlington, please turn out the lights.
Mm-hmm. Well, I when they had the pedestrian mall that they put
the
on a Jefferson.
You mean Steamboat Walk?
Yes. And that was supposed to, you know...
Nicollet Mall in the Minneapolis. That was the...
We're going to do it.
Everybody, all of these cities, all of the... And big, small, in between, they were all trying to do, emulate the Minneapolis Nicollet Mall. And, you know, it worked in Minneapolis, but the problem was you can't transfer that type of an idea. It doesn't transfer to all cities. It does. Des Moines sort of had a little bit of that. The skywalks, they did. Mm-hmm. They did incorporate that. But other than that, no.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't because it... But it does. It chokes traffic instead of getting traffic through.
And then you had the mall open up.
Yes.
And people were like, okay, if we're going to walk, might as well walk inside. Yeah, and I remember when that pedestrian mall went in. My dad had a business downtown. He goes, I don't think this is going to work. I remember him saying that. And it was going to choke traffic off so that people didn't go down there. And then we had a long time where businesses
were moving. You remember the JCPenney building? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, that became part of that was moved. That was a mall.
Pennies became Schramm's the mall when it was there.
Schramm's was a huge shopping area. I think it had 9 floors of shopping, if I'm right. And you had that going on.
Sears was downtown.
Sears was downtown. Yes.
All those great and. Just some of the locally owned stores, like Model and Johnson & Rasmussen.
Suter Drug.
Suter Drug. Was it Neisner's? What was on the corner there across from Suter's? Woolworths.
Yes.
Woolworths was downtown.
Yeah, Woolworths was downtown, yes. I mean, these are things, now I know you can be nostalgic about some of these old stores and the way. And shopping, let's face it, retail has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. If anything has changed retail, look at what COVID has done to retail shopping. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're seeing in downtown Burlington is, and you just pointed it out, we're seeing the fact is what retail shopping has, the successful retail shopping has been the niche. If you want to buy something and you want to find something that is unique, and something special that you're not going to find out of just a catalog or on basically, you can find almost anything online, but you really don't know until you actually touch it and feel it.
And the experience of it, too. The experience of going into that
store
and checking it out. Even if you don't buy anything, it's fun to walk around downtown and go into every store and look to see what they got. I walked into a clothing store. I didn't know it was all women's clothing. So I walked in and walked out. But it was kind of neat to see what was going on.
I remember a few years ago, my daughter's been in Chicago now for over 10 years. A few years ago, she was back. And she came back and she said, we said, hey, let's go downtown. And we went, let's go downtown. We'll get a bite to eat. And we'll do some walking around the downtown. It was a really nice night. And she, all of a sudden, we were there for maybe a couple of hours, and she said, "This is Burlington's really becoming a cool town." Mm-hmm. I don't know, she couldn't wait to get out of Burlington. The other girls, they didn't mind going. They went to SCC and then they went on to other colleges or universities, but my daughter did not want it. She wanted to do I called it George Bailey disease. It was shake the dust of this little town and go get in the mm-hmm. big city. And she's still in the big city, but she really likes Burlington. It's
well, what kind of food do we have? We have Italian. We have Mexican.
Every
we
kind.
Have Thai food.
We have Hawaiian.
Hawaiian.
Food.
We have sushi, right?
We have sushi.
We have American. like, if you want something to eat, and you're downtown and you can't find something to eat, you're not looking hard enough.
24 eating establishments downtown.
Right. Is that right?
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We've got, we're not going to wax only nostalgic. We're going to talk some city business and more. We've got Bill Maupin and Robert Kreitzer joining me today on the talk show.
Friday night is football night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. This Friday, join Scott Mason and John Flaherty as Burlington travels to Iowa City Liberty. Brought to you by Reinschmidt's Flooring America, Bob Dodd's Insurance, the Danville State Savings Bank, Pizza Ranch, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, Standard of Beaverdale, and the Pilot Grove Savings Bank. BHS Football, 7 p.m. Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490. KBUR and KBUR.com.
Taco Bell presents a get out of bedtime story.
It's time to wake up from this amazing dream, even though you're jet skiing on lemonade. How extreme! And oh, look at that. You just won the lottery. Is that a castle? Take the keys. It's your property. What's better than swimming in space? Just wait for the big reveal. It's Taco Bell breakfast and it's actually real. So it's time to wake up and bid your dreams farewell. Because toasted breakfast burritos are waiting for you. Only at Taco Bell. Participating Taco Bell locations near you during breakfast hours only.
Well, I started my own restaurant because I love to cook. But that also means a lot of greasy pots and pans. And we can't waste time with endless sink changeovers. So we upgraded to Dawn Professional Pot and Pan.
Dawn Professional cleans 58% more pots and pans per sink than the leading competitor.
Less dish soap, fewer changeovers, and more time doing what we love.
Dawn Professional. It's clean. Upgraded. From P&G Professional.
At Fun City Resort, fall is the time to come check things out. Check in at the Fun City Resort Hotel, now open. Book your stay in this newly remodeled space by calling 319-753-2946. Check out great attractions like the arcade, Zoom go-karts, laser tag, the Boogaloo Sports Bar and Grill, and Kingpin's Bowling Alley, where this month $40 buys 1 hour bowling for six and pizza on Fridays. October 28th is the Candy Crawl and costume contest for kids and adults. And check out Catfish Bend Casino on Friday and Saturday nights for the Rollover Witch giveaway. Only at Fun City Resort and Catfish Bend Casino.
I love hearing and learning about technology from you, and I love your one-liners. I love the dry sense of humor, and I think I'm hooked.
You know what it is? It's just trying to lighten it all up, because, you know, sometimes when people talk about technology, you heard it, Judy. It's like, Intel Core 5 processor, and you're like, oh my gosh, how boring is that?
Kim Commando, Sundays from 11 till 2 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And now the latest from the KBUR newsroom, I'm Colin Letty. The Burlington School Board has voted on a new set of criteria for requiring masks for students and staff. The Hawkeye reports that the board on Monday voted to institute a tier system based on local COVID-19 positivity rates, which will guide the school's mask policy going forward. The criteria will need to be approved at the next meeting on Monday, October 25th. The tier system includes three tiers. Green, no masks required if the positivity rate is between 0 and 5%. Yellow, masks being required during school hours if the county positivity rate is between 5.1 and 12%, and red, positivity rate of 12.1% or higher, masks required at all times. The measure passed by a vote of 5-1. The school's current mask mandate will expire on October 26th. A 22-year-old Muscatine man has been convicted of stabbing another man to death at a party last year. A jury convicted Milton Serrano of second-degree murder Tuesday in the death of 19-year-old Chance Stevens of Wilton. Serrano was initially charged with first-degree murder in Stevens' death. Police say Serrano stabbed Stevens to death after Serrano was asked to leave a party in July of 2020 at a home south of Clarence. Investigators say Serrano posted an account of the stabbing on social media hours after Stevens was killed. Sentencing was scheduled for October 29th. The Boeing company has told employees they must be vaccinated against COVID-19 or possibly be fired. The Seattle Times reports the deadline for workers at the aerospace giant is December 8th. Employees can request exemptions due to a disability or sincerely held religious belief. The policy will apply to roughly 125,000 U.S.-based employees company-wide, with about 57,000 of those in Washington State. Boeing may face more resistance to the new policy in some Republican-controlled states. On Monday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott issued an executive order barring private companies or any other entity from requiring vaccines. Boeing has more than 5,000 employees in Texas. It has about 32,000 more at facilities in Alabama, Arizona, Missouri, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. Just days after this year's Boston Marathon, the case of marathon bomber Jokhar Tsarnaev, guilty in the 2013 attack, is back before the Supreme Court.
Tsarnaev's involvement in the bombing is not at question here. The justice is going to be looking at several other issues relating to the death penalty. He was found guilty on multiple counts and sentenced to death.
Fox's David Spunt.
A federal appeals court last year in Massachusetts tossed out Tsarnaev's death penalty sentence for two reasons, ruling that prospective jurors were not properly questioned about news that they may have consumed about the case. The ruling also said the defense was improperly denied the chance to present evidence at trial.
And a Florida woman arrested after allegedly leaving her toddler with a stranger at a Miami hospital, not returning. That man happened to be an off-duty officer who called for help. America's listening to Fox News.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Showers and thunderstorms are 90% likely, mainly during our morning hours. A high today, 73 degrees. Breezy southeast winds gusting to 30 miles an hour. Mostly cloudy tonight. We've just a 30% chance of a stray shower, low down to 53. We'll have south winds becoming west after midnight, gusting to 25. Thursday, partly sunny, a slight chance of a shower, 67, mostly cloudy Thursday night, a 50% chance of scattered showers, and a low down to 51. Right now, it's 62. Weather brought to you by Southeast Iowa Regional Airport and Air Choice One, making your travels easy, flying from Burlington to St. Louis and Chicago daily.
I'm Jessica Ettinger, CNBC. Stocks are trying to break a three-day losing streak on Wall Street. Markets have been mixed this morning. They're moving around as investors comb through the new CPI numbers. The Consumer Price Index, it's a measure of inflation for September. It came in slightly higher than expected, 5.4% year over year. The estimate was up 5.3%. Inflation numbers pushing bond yields higher, impacting stocks. JP Morgan Chase out with better than expected quarterly results this morning as earnings season is on. Delta Airlines had its first quarterly profit without taking federal bailout money into account since the start of the pandemic. The White House has secured a deal to get the Port of Los Angeles to stay open 24/7 for 90 days. And expand operations at the Port of Long Beach in California to ease supply chain bottlenecks. Jessica Ettinger, CNBC.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Women with dense breast tissue have 4 to 6 times higher risk of developing breast cancer than those who don't. Now, Southeast Iowa Regional Medical Center has a tool that improves detection in women with dense breast tissue. Automated breast ultrasound, ABUS for short, can find hard-to-detect cancers that may not be identified by routine self-checks and mammography. Ask your healthcare provider if ABUS would be beneficial for you during your next mammogram appointment at Southeast Iowa Balboa Regional Medical Center in Fort Madison or West Burlington.
I learned long ago, if you've got the right tools and a little know-how, you can do it yourself. And no wall of mine's going to get some dime a dozen paint. Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Premium performance from its smooth application to that tough, washable one-coat finish. It exceeds expectations of what makes great paint. Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Available exclusively at Menards.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Welcome back on the talk show today. Bill Maupin and Robert Kreitzer, two members of the Burlington City Council. They are joining me talking about city business. We were looking at, and I know that when you first were elected to council, now this is, was it 2020 that you were both elected? Is that right?
That's correct.
And I think the very first, if I'm right, one of the very first things you did was have a goal setting session. Is that right?
And budgets.
And budget.
Budgets well, was the very first.
Was it budgets before the goal setting?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you describe the budget process as your first impression of the budget process?
It's an exhausting process where you listen to people talk to you for hours on end.
Mm-hmm. And you have to look at, when you're looking at the budget, you have to be able to prioritize and looking at the different departments and what they each need. Because each one of them, to them, you know,
right,
that's their priority, which it should be. So you have to start looking at that. But it's a long process. The first time it was daunting because we were brand new. So we are looking at all these figures and everything, getting in all this information without having any really background information from being on council and listening to them, the different department heads present to us all year. This last one I thought was a lot, for me it was a lot easier because yeah. I had that background information, so I was already starting to think about that. But I think the city staff does such a wonderful job in preparing it and preparing us for it that it wasn't nearly as daunting as that first time.
Well, the first year, 2 months after you had your first budget meeting, kaboom, COVID struck. A shutdown. Mm-hmm. Shut down of the state of Iowa. I remember having I was getting ready to head my daily trip to the Y to go work out. And I had my bag over my shoulder, gym bag over my shoulder. I'm just getting ready, and somebody comes in and says, you might as well put that bag down. You're not going to the Y today.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed. All of a sudden, so many different things that hit on so many different levels.
Like the hotel motel tax. We didn't
exactly
know where that was going to go. How would that impact the budget for the rest of the year?
It pretty much went nil mm-hmm. for a while. I don't know what else, but I know
that sales tax was hurt. Road use tax. That was, you know, people weren't traveling.
Nobody's driving, so nobody's buying gas. Yeah, and it's
new cars.
And yeah, you had so much misinformation that was coming out, or I should say, lack of information mostly, because some of it was But we were guessing. We were trying to guess on what do we do to handle this thing.
That's all we could do was guess on what the impact
would be. We had people coming by washing it must have been 3 or 4 times a day. All of the doorknobs got scrubbed mm-hmm. down, the light switches, anything that people touched. Wash your hands as much as you possibly can. But if you are uncertain, yeah. You know, and I think it was, yeah, if you're uncertain, don't go anywhere.
Well, and we started having meetings where it was, you know, we did it over
virtual, yeah. Yeah,
virtual meetings. We all agreed to come in person most of the time, and unless we had an encounter.
My wife was on spring break, and She was on spring break, but spring break just for everybody lasted a long time. Mm-hmm. It was one of those basically spring break meant lasted till the end of the year.
Well, it was one day, and then the next day, everything had changed. It had changed for the kids. It had changed for the community. Here are the things we normally would do, going out to the stores, everything like that. And you look at the shortages.
Yes.
You know, you go to the grocery store.
Oh, toilet paper.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Now, why did toilet paper become such a...
I heard that when hurricanes hit, like Hawaii, when they know they're coming, everybody goes and buys everything they could possibly need so they can bunker down. And somehow that mentality spread to the mainland, where when something happens that they deem to be an emergency situation, people react that same way, even though we don't necessarily need to, because loads were still coming in at the time. We were still getting, you know, loads of paper and stuff like at Walmart or wherever. We were still getting those products, but people were buying them. So the demand was just going crazy, but the supply was still there. You just had to wait for like a day.
And you mentioned education, but education for just about everybody. I don't know what had happened, what it was at Notre Dame, but I know that for virtually everybody else, it was all online. It was instantly... You had to, and everybody had to backpedal and then figure out how we're going to do this.
One of my daughters was in kindergarten,
yeah.
So she missed most of kindergarten. She missed part of first grade or whatever. So some of those kids that weren't able to get the attention from the teacher are behind in second grade. They're behind where they should be because they missed kindergarten and some of first grade.
There's no doubt, and you're in education, Bill, there's no doubt that, you know, you can talk about online learning, but online learning is not an equal playing field.
No.
It may be something if you're in college, you're taking a college course, and you know what you're getting into, it's one thing. But having to shift gears and all of a sudden now you're doing remote learning. Remote learning doesn't do the same as in school learning.
No. Let me tell you, I've learned this a long time ago that when they first developed records, when Edison developed the record player, they said teaching is going to totally change because now you can do it at home, you can listen to these records. When radio developed, it was going to be they can stay at home, they can listen to the radio, we'll instruct. TV, same thing. Now they say online is the same thing. Nothing will replace an effective teacher in front of her class or their class.
And my wife is an elementary teacher, and for her to try, and she had to, and she said, you know, it was, she said, I have to come up with a way that will work, and they ended up, I think they actually ended up going back. They were back, I believe, within the second week of April. They were back in actual class, but they were under a part of it in, part of it out, and you had remote learning days, and then you had in class days, and masks were mandatory for those in class days, but you couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. you had to do everything. You couldn't sing, you couldn't do anything. So she developed developed all of these instruments that were all a lot of them percussion instruments, and she developed instruments that the kids could do and use and stuff like that. It was just crazy.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about the city. You know, if we look back at it, we still made it work. We were innovative. We continued our projects. We were able to continue serving the people. Teachers if you look at the schools, we were still doing some form of education. It wasn't the most beneficial to everyone. But the whole thing was we had that we can get this done attitude. And that's what, you know, we should all be very proud of around here, is that we did continue and we did, you know, hopefully this is the waning part. This is, you know, the last couple of gasps, but we continued to get things done and move along. and we didn't just hibernate.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Every Friday night from 10 to 11:30, it's
Let's go!
The Iowa High School Football Scoreboard Show on Fox Sports.
Bring it up!
Yes, get all the scores from around the state, plus all the local scores as well.
I love me some football.
The Iowa High School Football Scoreboard Show. Every Friday night at 10. Right here on Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360.
Summer has stuck around a little longer than we thought, but I'm ready for some fall weather. Hi, this is Steve from Ritter's Landscaping Home and Garden Center. And with our temperatures starting to cool and nighttime coming earlier each day, we know fall is here. With fall weather comes the beauty of brilliant fall color on our trees and shrubs. It also means it's time for a tree sale. Unlike many merchants this year, we have a huge inventory of trees. Shade trees in many varieties of oak, maple, and elm, and ornamental trees like Cleveland Select Pear, several varieties of crabapple and redbud, as well as black gum, Persian ironwood, and Japanese tree lilac, and beautiful shrubs in burning bush, viburnum, and itea, all turning their best right now. This week, save some money as we have autumn blaze maples in several sizes, 20% off. Yes, our most popular tree is 20% off. We have every tree in stock at least 10% off. So stop and stroll our huge selection, and you'll see why people say,
wow, it must be by Ritter's.
Is a college education a distant dream you hold for a newborn child staring you in the face? Next to retirement planning, paying for your children's education could be the largest expense that your family will bear. A 529 college savings program is an option to help save for higher education. For more information on this flexible college savings program, contact the financial advisor team at Two Rivers Investment Services. They can help you plan today for tomorrow's college education expenses. Prior to investing in a 529 plan, investors should consider whether the investor's or designated beneficiary's home state offers any state tax or other benefits that are only available for investments in such state's qualified tuition program. Withdrawals used for qualified expenses are federally tax-free. Tax treatment at the state level may vary. Please consult with your tax advisor before investing. Securities and insurance products are not FDIC insured, not bank guaranteed, may lose value, not insured by any federal government agency, and not a bank deposit. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. LPL Financial and Two Rivers Investment Services are independent entities.
Bill Maupin and Robert Kreitzer joining me. City Council Day today, and I think the bottom line here is that no matter what has happened over the last 17 months is the city has continued to operate. The functions of the city have continued to operate. You've had some modifications. You've had to modify the way meetings were. You had to do meetings, I believe. Now, did you do actually any remote meetings during that time? I don't think so. Did you?
No. I mean, we had the option to like
Zoom meetings.
Zoom meetings. There was nothing like that.
Only if we're gone somewhere.
Yeah.
There was some presenters that normally would have been in front of us. But we were at the council chambers for most of it. And then we went down to the auditorium for a couple.
Right, to socially distance.
Right.
And then we were back up there. And, we had some presenters, but otherwise we were
And we limited the number of people in the room. Once we had staff in there and us, like, usually that was it. If we had to bring presentation people in, we'd have some of the staff that wasn't necessary for that conversation just step out in the hallway so that we could socially distance. So, yeah, we made it work, and we're still showing signs of progress and moving right along with all our projects that we had planned. But when we talked earlier that we didn't get some of that sales tax revenue, we adjusted some of our plans.
And you were also able to adjust the formula that was able to utilize the online sales tax and incorporate that within the flood mitigation project.
And I'm glad we got that done, because that would have been a hardship to deal with.
And the flood mitigation project has been going on. I don't know what stage we're in, but we're in a stage. We've moved along. We've got the stage. We're from the lift station all the way through to the port building, all protected now. And that is huge.
And the parking lot's going to be a foot higher, and then you got the wall. So we won't have to have FEMA come bail us out every time we have a flood down there, hopefully.
Well, and you've had those HESCO barriers that have had to be popped out, and you will always have the HESCO barriers for an emergency situation.
They're just not intended to last 80 days completely saturated.
And they just don't. Mm-hmm. They're gonna wear down and break down, and they do. And but I think flood protection here, now other people would say, well, you know, by flood protecting there, all you're doing is you're meaning that the river level is going to be higher farther downriver. And perhaps there is some
there was a study on that, though. They said the impact on communities will be not, you know, it's not going to affect as many people as it would here if it affects anybody other than maybe some farmland or shoreline.
What you end up having is yes. Will the river naturally expand? Yes. Will it always expand just in that city area? No. So I guess that's a question there. But it's I think the fact that you've been able to carry on, you've been able to do the things you wanted to do. I think property taxes, you've held the line on that. I know that. Now, my property taxes did go up, but that was, I think, because everybody's property taxes went up.
Everybody was reevaluated.
Yeah, because of the the appraisal on that. But it has, but not much. It was a fairly modest increase.
Now, Jim Furnow was real good about that. He had a goal of eventually reducing it, and then we kept it right about the same to maintain some level of service or add to our level of services while not charging people more. So that was part of the deal there.
And Jim Furnow, would you say that Chad Bird has basically kept the Jim Furnow model? Is that true? He's got his own style.
He's a different animal.
It's a different style than Jim's.
He's much more out there.
Yeah.
More outgoing.
He's involved in the community.
He did the bridge run. He's on Facebook. Every time I go somewhere downtown, I swear I bump into him. Or every time I go anywhere.
I know he tried out for the Players Workshop show. I'm not sure exactly how that would
work. That would be great. I would love to see that. But kudos to him. He immersed himself into Burlington. He's part of the community. And like I said, it seems like every time I go out somewhere to do something, whether it's grab something to eat or I'm going to the store, somehow he's there. So he's made himself available and approachable to the community, and his style from Jim Furnow is a little different. I don't know if he's quite as conservative as Jim financially, but he is keeping with council's vision of what we want to do in the future. We've been talking about the sidewalk program that we've had actually a couple years. We just never use the money. So him and Eric got together and the rest of the staff, and now something is going to happen with that. So
I think every city manager is going to have their own style. I think that's really and when Jim Furnow came in, we had some very serious financial issues, and it was Jim came in at if you're going to come in and become the city manager, you want to come in when things are at their worst, mm-hmm. because there's only one way to go when you're at the bottom. That is up. If you're coming in at the top, then that's another thing, maintaining that top. But I don't know if we're at the top or not. I think we're
still on the rise.
We're on the rise. I think that's where we are right now. I guess, man, personally, I think, are you enjoying being a member of the city council?
Most days. I think it's nice to have back-to-back winners for city managers. That makes our job easier. Our staff is amazing. I know Kathleen announced that she's going to retire in December, and I don't know if we're looking at Katie or we're going to interview some people, but Katie's perfectly capable of doing the job, and she's good at it too. People are retiring. They've been at it for a while. But I think that our job's easier because we have such great staff and services in the community.
How has it changed for you, Bill? Is it better now that, you come in and you have COVID hits? So are you comfortable being in the city council?
I'm comfortable with it. I like to be able to, help out the community and to do my part. And talking with people, and I would echo what Robert said, that the staff is amazing. They do so much for us, and it makes the job fairly comfortable.
And I think visibility. I think all of the council members are pretty visible out in the community right now as well. And I think that's including the city manager. So you got the city manager and the council. Visibility in the out in the city and getting up close and personal to things, it's a good thing. Anyway, Robert Kreitzer, Bill Maupin, thank you again
for being
here. Have a good day.